From NPR News in Washington, I'm Noor Rahm. The war in Afghanistan is now officially under the command of General David Petraeus. He stepped into command U.S. and NATO troops there at a critical time as the U.S.-led war effort is deteriorating. NPR's Diana Douglas is with the Army's 101st Airborne Division outside Kandahar, where the U.S. is focusing its main efforts this summer.
The Army is trying to dismantle the Taliban strongholds in and around Kandahar. Captain Paul De Leon, who commands a company of soldiers here, says going into the area is like kicking up a hornet's nest.
You know, we push out there for disruptions, but right now we can't really hold that terrain.
The Taliban has increased their attacks on the U.S. with car bombs, grenades, and small arms fire. On Friday, five American combat outposts near Kandahar were hit with coordinated strikes, killing one soldier and wounding nearly a dozen others. More soldiers will arrive here throughout the summer, and De Leon says he's confident they'll soon be able to stop the Taliban from moving freely through the area. Diana Douglas, NPR News, Kandahar Province, Afghanistan.
GOP Chairman Michael Steele recently blamed President Obama for the war in Afghanistan, a comment that has drawn complaints from Democrats. Republican Senator John McCain is joining in the criticism, but NPR's Allison Key says McCain stopped short of calling for Steele's resignation.
The adjectives flew fast and furious today on the talk shows, with McCain calling Steele's words wildly inaccurate and fellow Republican South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham calling Steele's comments uninformed, unnecessary, and unwise. Both men spoke from Afghanistan, but McCain told ABC's This Week Steele himself should decide whether to step down.
I think that Mr. Steele is going to have to assess as to whether he can still lead the Republican Party as chairman of the Republican National Committee and make an appropriate decision.
McCain says Steele sent an email saying the remarks were misconstrued. Steele was caught on tape last week calling the Afghanistan conflict a war of President Obama's choosing and suggesting that the war there cannot be won. Allison Keyes, NPR News, Washington.
Vice President Joe Biden is in Baghdad, where he's meeting today with Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki and former Premier Iyad Alawi. The two Iraqi leaders represent two political factions vying to control the country after inconclusive parliamentary elections in March. Biden is the Obama administration's point man in Iraq and is encouraging Iraqi leaders to work together to form a new government. An unmanned Russian cargo ship docked successfully with the International Space Station today after an unsuccessful attempt Friday because of a faulty radio link. It's carrying 2.5 tons of supplies, such as fuel, food, water, and spare parts. On board the space station are 6 crew members, 3 from Russia, 3 from the U.S. It's orbiting 220 miles above the Earth. This is NPR News. A week ago, there were protests in Toronto as world leaders gathered for an economic summit. The city is seeing a very different kind of activity today. Dan Karpinchuk reports from Toronto. This is the 30th anniversary of the city's Gay Pride Parade, which is one of the biggest in the world.
Toronto's mayor, David Miller, says it's time to put the anger and bitterness of last week's violent confrontations behind and embrace a more joyful image of the city. Even so, this year's Pride Parade is not without controversy. Organizers came under fire for allowing a group called Queers Against Israeli Apartheid to participate in the march. City officials say the group violates Toronto's anti-discrimination policy, and parade organizers only announced the group's participation after receiving $125,000 in grant money from the city. One option could be to cut off future funding. But with 1.2 million people attending the week-long festival, the Toronto event has become the largest Pride celebration in North America, which last year alone brought economic benefits of more than $135 million. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
On this 4th of July, some smaller localities have had to forego their fireworks display because of budget cuts. But many of the larger demonstrations will go on. In Washington, D.C., President Obama has invited members of the military and their families to watch the fireworks from the White House lawn. The largest fireworks show in the country will take place on Manhattan's west side over the Hudson River between New York and New Jersey. Another 4th of July tradition in New York is already over, Nathan's hot dog eating contest on Coney Island. American Joey Chestnut won for the 4th year in a row, eating 54 dogs in 10 minutes. I'm Noor Rahm, NPR News in Washington.